of the Midwest Outdoors. I somehow, through friends of mine at well-placed sources, have assembled a group here that we had to go post-bond for two of them, but we got them out, and they're here in the studio with us. But I'm basking in the aura of my co-host, Mark Tobin. Mark, how you doing?
Well, I can't get any better than this.
Really?
Sharing a studio with these characters and you.
Do you know their names?
Yes.
What are they? Who are they?
Greg Thompson and Brent Frazee. None other than the one and only infamous Brent Frazee.
Infamous. I like that. I like that. I've been called that a lot.
You know, I came out of my subdivision this morning, and I looked up, and there was a full moon, and I thought, this program was predestined.
Well, who knows? We'll get through it somehow. I want to make a little bit of announcement before we really get started here a little bit. Of course, I've been involved with Delta Waterfowl Foundation for a long, long time in the Squaw Creek chapter out of St. Joseph, Missouri. If you're only going to attend one of these type banquets, this is the one I 110% recommend. And it's Saturday, October the 16th. So you got time to plan for this thing. Is that Chiefs something? I don't know. My brain just clicked. Is Chiefs playing on a Saturday for some weird? No, they don't, do they? No. Okay. So anyway, but this is a cool one because of this has really been a good organization. They've raised a lot of serious money. So when they do that, they get extra prizes to raffle off and things of that nature. So if you're going to go to one, this is the one to go to, but you'd better be getting a ticket because they are going to limit these tickets, I think, to 150. And so I would recommend you get involved with this. You can get a hold of me through our Facebook at the Midwest Outdoors. I will to handle it all for you. So, but we'd love to see you up there. The doors open at 5 o'clock. Dinner is at 7. Pinzino, if you've never eaten Pinzino barbecue, it's almost as good as Mark Tobin's. But it's quite an event. We'd love to see you up there. Had a lot of people out of the market, Kansas City market, come up last year and the year before. Oh, this is a cool fundraiser deal. This is the ultimate one to come to.
What's the date again?
It's October the 16th, starting at 5 o'clock in the evening. And it's at the Knights of Columbus Hall. That's 1205 North 49th Terrace. Now, it's real simple. If you're coming out of Kansas City, get off at Frederick Avenue. They named that avenue after me. It was awful nice of them. And you hang a right, and you go about a mile, and you see the swans there, the funeral home, which you guys are looking like you could be there any day now. But
I was going to say,
take a right right there.
About funeral home.
Maybe we ought to pick them up as a sponsor so we can get a discount.
Yeah, really. And that's true. You know, we was talking about that the other day. I have buried more friends. Of course, when you get 70 years of age, you're wore out, but you just bury a lot of your old buddies that you just kind of took for granted all your life, you know. And I always say it's never about anybody dying. It's replacing that friend in a self-centered mode.
Absolutely.
You know, there's just not left those good old boys left, you know, on the deal. So, Brent, it's so good to have you in the studio. I mean, this just makes my day.
Well, when you're talking about funeral homes and death, I kind of wonder, is this our last go around?
It could be. Could be.
Our swan song, yeah.
And I asked you this earlier, and I thought some of the best radio we do is actually off the air, but it can't put it on the air. But how are you catching fish? Been a pretty good year?
Yeah, well, it's been off and on. You know, it's been a strange weather
here.
Yeah, but we say that all the time, you know? I mean, mm-hmm. We act like this is the first year that's happened. I mean, you know, every year, though, you'll just start catching the crappie and the rain will come. Or, you know, I went to Minnesota about a month ago, and I thought, well, at least I'll get out of the heat. Uh-huh. And go up there to Leech Lake, which is northern Minnesota. It was 95 degrees out there.
What the heck?
Wow.
Fishing for walleyes in 95 degree heat.
Wow. And you could do that here.
Yeah, exactly.
probably catch
about as many here as I did up there. But, I mean, it really threw the fish off and everything like that. But the thing I was amazed at is how much they charge for guide fees up there.
Is it?
Oh, geez.
Pretty strong, huh?
You better be a wealthy guy, and I'm not. And they were charging. I went up with Perkins, Dave Perkins,
sure.
From
yeah.
the sports show.
Sure.
And we get together every year and go someplace. And now Greg Thompson here can afford these big guy things. but little old Brent, of course, I was warned ahead of time. $600.
Jeez.
Wow.
$600 for each day, for walleyes one day and smallmouth bass the other day.
Wow.
A lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
Did you get to keep any of that expensive meat?
Huh?
Did you get to keep any of that?
Well.
That's some expensive meat.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I was just catch and release because we did a lot of smallmouth bass, and I'm not going to eat a smallmouth.
Oh, yeah.
So, but. Wow, I thought, you know, I could divide that up a couple different times and go in this area.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, you know, there's, I don't know, they don't charge. Like I know Richard Bowling, who is one of the best crappie guides
Truman
in
Lake.
This area.
Yep, yeah.
Yeah.
I talk to him every Friday.
He charges $250.
Yeah,
for a guide trip.
Very reasonable.
Very reasonable. You get two guys in there and split that? And
yeah, that's not that big a deal, is it?
I'll get a calculator and tell you how much that
is.
Yeah,
we'll work on it.
We
got a new producer. He looks smart, so maybe he can figure it out.
Put
250 divided by two.
Yeah, put that abacus up, would you please?
Yeah, really, somebody ought to get on this thing. You know, we were talking about this a couple weeks ago, although, I mean, fishing across the Midwest, I don't think I've ever heard such tremendously good reports. Perry, Milford, Tuttle, Truman, Lake the Ozarks. I think we're basking in the aura of greatness right now. You know,
a lot of it is because of that, because of the floods.
Couple of years ago, yep.
Yeah,
I think
the floods a couple of years ago. The biologists say that when you have those flood years like that, first of all, it keeps the fishermen off the lake. Secondly, so you got a big carryover of spawning fish for the next year's spawn. And there was so much food washed in and everything
exactly.
that the fish just boomed. I mean, that's a great thing about our part of the world. We flood every other year, it seems like.
Sure do.
Well, and that new cover gives those new hatch, the fry,
yeah.
a place to hide and get away from predation.
Yeah.
So,
and,
yeah, it's yeah. It, all that together. Yeah.
Have you guys seen the stories of all the spoonbill that are in the spillway at Smithville lately?
Mm. No.
Lots of them. I guess you just go up there and see them.
Wow.
Cool.
What's that all about?
Well, they must
not
must
a clue.
Be, must be high water down the Kansas River, coming up.
I don't know.
That have to be.
I don't know. It's just strange times, but fishing is just phenomenal. You know, I've got some buddies that hang out at Tuttle Creek, and I'm always, I fish Tuttle a lot, or not a lot, but I have over the years. Love the place. It kind of went in doldrums, and then all of a sudden, these guys are just glowing about the fish that they're catching over there, and there's nobody over there fishing. You know, they're just having too much fun in the deal. But have you heard anything out of Milford?
Yeah, the hybrids and the white bass are spectacular right now.
Yeah.
It's kind of changing from what I've heard a little bit with this heat. It's definitely more of an early late, especially a late bite.
Mm-hmm.
But that could be just because a lot of people don't want to get out and fight that heat, too. You know, it could be pretty rough out there without any wind, and they get that 90-degree humid weather, and it can be a little bit tough. So, but because I've been there in August when it's brutally hot and no wind, and we've caught hybrids in the middle of the day just like we do early and late. But,
yeah.
So I don't know if it's just because of lack of fishermen or if that's just the way it is right now. But definitely if you're going out there, do an early and late kind of a thing for sure.
I imagine on the weir in front of the Truman at sunset would be the ultimate place to be too.
Yeah, they've been running water for a couple of weeks now, and so whenever they're doing that, that's a great spot to fish.
Cody Van Anten's just killing the hybrids.
Really?
Oh, they're just slaughtering the hybrids.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
if you want
a good guide on Truman for that Cody Van Anten, he's
you want hybrids or catfish?
Yeah, he's
that's
the best
the guy.
Yeah.
Well, the fishing, you guys know that all this good fishing is related to climate change. Yeah, you guys know that, don't you?
Yeah, I mean,
everything is related to, you know, if we got more ants, that's because of climate change.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you leave your tinfoil hat in the car?
I'm just telling you the way it is.
You know, I watched a guy. When you get older, you watch more TV, it seems like, especially when it gets hot. But I watched a guy on an interview, and I'm going to tell you it was on C-SPAN, but I could be wrong. All them channels run together to me. But this guy said, you know, about climate change. He said, yeah, he said they're having brush fires and stuff down in Australia, and they have tsunamis out in, you know, Taiwan, and they have earthquakes here, there, and yon. But he said, it's the way this globe has always been. Well, and now, within 5 minutes, I know if there was a tornado, you know, out here in Nebraska or, you know, over in New York or whatever. I think we get inundated more and more with the media and weather than we ever did before.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know. I'm not a denier. You know, it might be having an effect on some things, but I always look back to what did they blame during the Dust Bowl days?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
They couldn't talk about carbon emissions back in the Dust Bowl days, you know, when this planet almost dried up and blew away. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, what was that all about?
Yeah, well,
just too many covered wagons, or what was the deal?
I put it to normal fluctuations, you know. Yeah. We're going to have fluctuations.
Yeah, I saw the other day, you know, Colorado is such a terrible drought situation, and all of a sudden I pick up the news, and they've got mudslides.
We're in Colorado?
Yeah, and they'll have them in California be the next thing. You know, they're sort of hurting out there for water on the deal.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the speck of reality, we are such a small blip of, you know, the old marble's been bouncing around for thousands of years, and, you know, you got to amortize it all the way through. Maybe down the road here, 100 years from now, they'll look back at this and say, yeah, this was a bad deal. It was bad timing. But I'm just not a globalist, you know, type person, you know, on a deal. So I know it's killing those green striped frogs, but what the hey, you know. Part of it. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, we are brought to you by King City Lumber, kingcitylumber.com. If you've not been to that fantastic website, you're the last person upright and breathing. Had a guy call me day before yesterday wanting to get a hold of the King City Lumber and give them an estimate on a building. And I said, well, you know, I don't know this. I'm just going to speak out loud. But I said, I don't doubt it. I doubt if there'll be the cheapest bid that you'll get, but there'll be the most quality bid that you will get. So if you want to build a building that's going to last for generations and generations and generations, they have master carpenters. They don't have sluggos driving a nail. These guys take pride in what they're doing. So look at their website. If you get on it, you'll be on it about 20 minutes. I guarantee maybe 30 minutes. And if you don't see what you like on there, they will help you design one. They're the finest humans I know. KingCityLumber.com. Tell you what, you're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. We're going to take a little break. We'll be right back with you. Well, that brings back memories. I must be old. Is that Creedence Clearwater?
Yeah.
I wonder what year that was. Anybody got an idea, Marco? No, you wouldn't.
I don't know what year, but
69? Maybe?
That'd be a good guess.
But see if you can find out. I'd like 69. To know the answer to that one.
Creedence Clearwater. I saw them in concert.
Back when I was harking on the plains.
1969.
There you go.
Hey, right.
When I was harking on the plains in my wayward youth, when I was 18 years old, you could go to Kansas and drink beer.
Hey.
And we used to go to a place called a Keg in Wathena, Kansas, and every time I'd walk in, that music would be on. That's why I remember that.
They had it on a loop, huh?
Evidently.
Song on the jukebox.
You put a quarter in, you got three songs, I think it was. Now you would put in $40 and get one half song or something.
Oh, no, you get on your phone and you put it on your credit card and it links up to the electronic thing on the wall. It does.
Yeah.
You play whatever you want to.
Yeah. Hey, we're brought to you by Reed Chevrolet. If you're looking for a good used pickup, this is the place. These are the finest people you'll ever do business with. I love them dearly. They be your sponsors, and they became my dearest friends. These people treat you like you need to be treated. Treat you with respect. They will never, ever sell you a vehicle. They'll help you buy one. If you don't like the price of it, just look them right in the eye and say, I don't like prices. I want a better deal. And they'll do everything they can to earn your business. There's no finer family than the Reed family, and I mean that from my heart. So 28 minutes north of KCI if you drive like you have no common sense. Frederick Avenue, St. Joseph, Missouri, Reed Chevrolet. I just love those people. I go out there and just hang out with them. That's, you know, I like being around successful people, and they're good humans. So I just love hanging out there at the store. I don't get around there as much as I used to, but I still love them on the deal. I want to talk a little walleye. I mean, where is it? What's going on? Is anybody catching them? You know, Brent?
Well, I'll tell you what. I just talked to buddy Dave Perkins up in Minnesota, and he said, boy, it's been a tough year for walleyes up there. You know, they've had so much heat and everything like we have. It's very unusual. Of course, it's global warming.
Yeah,
you
know? Right. Sure.
Yeah, that, I told you that.
Yeah.
And he said, boy, the reports they're getting from walleye fishermen up north is not good. You know, I'm talking about Leech Lake, Mille Lacs, some of those more famous walleye reservoirs, they're just not catching them as well. Down here, the one thing I'm really surprised at is Table Rock all of a sudden.
I heard that this week.
All of a sudden is just producing all kinds of walleyes. These guys are fishing for bass. And they're catching bass, but they're also catching walleyes and some nice size ones,
too. Yeah, they're big fish.
Yeah. So that never used to be when I was covering outdoors for the Star. You know, walleye fishing just was non-existent at Table Rock, although we would catch them. I'd catch them with old J.D. Fletcher in the when they do a spawning run. Up the rivers, like
that
the
was
Kings,
about the only time,
like the Kings River,
and
we'd catch walleyes. We'd catch some nice walleyes, but then they'd kind of disappear. But now they're to the point where they're getting to be a pretty good pattern for these walleyes.
You know what I think, and this is my humble opinion. I think we've got to be better fishermen and smarter fishermen. We pattern them better with our electronics, and you know where the humps are a little bit more. And I think, you know, I assume at Table Rock, I know one big spot out there, I've got a buddy that fishes that, and he said just as soon as they do drift rigs, and as soon as they fall off the cliff, he calls it, he said you're going to hook up with a walleye. I said they're stacked there like cordwood, and they're good ones.
Yeah.
I'm hearing 7-pound walleye. I'm hearing 6-pound walleye. I'm hearing 8-pound walleye. You know, I smell a rat on that. Do you think they stocked them?
They did stock them. I'll tell you, a place right next door to Table Rock that's outstanding for walleyes is Bull Shoals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bull Shoals, for a long time, I even did, back when I was with the Star, I even went down there and did stories with guys on the walleye fishing down there at Bull Shoals. It is good.
Yeah.
It is really good. And even in the heat of summer, They'll be down there doing
that. Is
that
a stocking situation? Have they stocked this up?
Yeah, stocking situation. Yeah. But, I mean, it's really good. And Norfolk down there, too. So I guess it would fit that Table Rock is good, too, because it's all White River.
Yeah.
All White River reservoirs. But, that's some good stuff. But I don't know if I want to sit out in 95-degree heat.
Yeah, right. You know, Stockton was a target type atmosphere for stocking for walleye for years, and that has really blossomed on the deal. When you get mad at the MDC, then all of a sudden you look at something and they did pretty darn good.
Yeah.
On the deal. Yeah.
And Truman, they're catching several walleye right now.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Below the dam?
No, up on the lake.
Up on the lake.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it used to be you could always catch, or not always, but a lot of times you could catch walleye below the dam. And that got so wishy-washy, it seemed
like.
Yeah,
it just seems like you got to have the right conditions, and it just seems like the last few years the conditions just haven't been quite right. I mean, there have been fish caught, for sure, but, you know, you got to have water running, and it just seems like the times that you need it, it was just really erratic.
Erratic.
But that's a pretty sure bet normally in the spring, but
yeah,
there's a lot of walleye. I mean, I got to do that a few years back. Got to go with the Missouri Conservation Department. And while they were shocking, have you ever done that, Brent?
Yes, golly. That's a blast.
Oh my gosh,
very humbling too.
Yeah,
you know,
why do you say that? Why are you so humbling?
Because, you know, you might have been fishing a couple times. I did something where we would be fishing a cove, and not catching squat, and then they come in with the shocking boat. And they shock the same water that you just fished. And they start rolling all kinds of these big fish and stuff like that. You know, I mean, I'm sitting there thinking, God.
What am I doing wrong?
Yeah. I mean, it's like the fish had a smirk on their face. they're saying, hey, fat boy, I'm not gonna hit that spinnerbait that you just threw in there.
I mean, did you see anything at all? You guys both did both of that. Any 10-pound walleye? Have you ever seen a 10-pound walleye?
Did you have 14?
We had five 14-pound fish.
Ooh. Where were you, Truman? Below
yeah,
Truman?
Right below the dam.
Below the dam of Truman.
14-pound
wow. Five,
walleye.
And we had, now I don't remember the exact numbers, but it was something like in the neighborhood of around 40 that were over 10 pounds.
Mm.
Between 10 and 12 was the most common of the big ones. But, yeah, we had those three or four that were 14 pounds. I mean, gigantic fish.
Well, we did say that this was going to be a liar's table today.
Yeah. See, you can't prove
so
wrong.
I know. Yeah, I know.
I wonder how old a 14-pound walleye is.
That's good.
Is he 7 years old? Is he 9 years old? Is he 3 years old? I don't know.
I'm not sure. I mean, I just know with catfish and like blue cats and stuff like that, they can live up to 20 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a guy on last week, Rocky
Baker.
Baker, and he had caught a North Carolina state record blue cat, 127 pounds, and the conservation people that confirmed it said it could be anywhere between 25 and 35 years old.
Yes.
Wow.
Hey, another bit of good news, if it sticks.
Uh-oh.
The Canadian border is going to open up August 9th.
If it sticks.
To vaccinated American citizens to go fishing.
Really?
Cool.
I heard that. Dave Perkins told me that, and he said you got to jump through a bunch of hoops. I mean, you got to plug your nose and stand on one foot, and then you got to hop about three different ways. But you can get
on
into
a straight
Canada.
Line.
Joe Falco, he's supposed to, you know, Sportsman's Outfitter Marine. He's supposed to go out there the beginning of August. So he's going to, as soon as he finds out exactly what all you have to do, he's going to call in.
Cool.
And let us know what's going on.
Has he got any kayaks in?
Jackson Kayaks. I guess they've got some really cool innovations, some new ones that are coming out this fall. And he says you got to see them. They are just off the charts cool. And, I mean, they're great the way it is. You know, you've got those models that you can pedal, and then you can even take that out, that mechanism, and put a trolling motor in there. So if you want to fish, that's Jackson Kayaks are the best.
Yeah.
They're more stable than most. And,
yeah.
Yeah, they still got some kayaks. Now, boats, man, they're hard to find.
Yeah.
New boats, anyway. They're starting to get a few trickling in, but it's, you know, not like they wish. But they still got a few used boats. But if you have problems with your boat, which you're going to, I mean, that's the nature of having
what?
A boat.
What? You have a boat breaking?
Yeah,
who'd
have
ever thought that?
Well, when it does, take it down there to them.
Yeah,
Dave Hemme, he's the head mechanic down there.
Is Bud Gordon going to join us on air?
Yeah, it's 6:30.
Cool.
I wanted him to do that because I've got bad feet, and he has fixed mine, and I want to share that with people.
It's because you run those marathons?
No, it's more glamorous than that. It's because I pushed a fertilizer spreader for so many years.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, while we're at it, I know we only got three listeners, according to Fred, but if you're out there this morning listening, drop us a message on Facebook and tell us where you're listening from. We'd kind of like to know.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I know we got a guy up almost to Omaha that listens every Saturday. I had a guy that stopped me the other day from Effingham, Kansas. Where is Effingham? Anybody know where that's at? I never heard of it. But anyway, I've heard of it, but I didn't know where it was at.
So how do people do that?
They can just go to our Facebook site under the Midwest Outdoors and message us. And if you message us, we'll be able to tell that you message us right here while we're talking.
I've got a couple of things that I think I stole it off of your Facebook page, Brent.
Oh.
This was some things, some quotes.
That's embarrassing.
Some quotes.
Plagiarism.
This was one of the reasons why in the United States the coronavirus death rate is higher than some other places. This is an example why. A wife said, did I get fat during the quarantine? Husband said, you're really never skinny. Time of death was 4/25/20. Cause of death, coronavirus.
Yeah. Well, kind of was on the deal. We got to take a break. We got to have a little bit of sponsorship on the show. So, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. We've got a motley crew in here today. If open the phones. If you want to join us on the air, you're more than welcome to. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. We'll be right back with you. Well, what good break music. You're doing good, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Marco, we like you.
Yeah.
Schneider, you're in trouble, buddy.
Yeah. Schneider needs to go. You need to be replaced.
I think he's out doing a story on the NFL and marijuana or something. He's out in Colorado. He said he was listening this morning. I guess we'll see.
Yeah. Have we got Bud on the phone? Bud Gordon's on the phone.
Bud, are you there?
Good morning. Good morning, guys.
Well, good morning. Well, Bud, I wanted to have you on this morning because I wanted to share with our listeners that may have bad feet like I do or bad knees. I want to share what has worked for me where other things didn't. And I mentioned my feet are bad, and I think it was from years of pushing a spreader around. My feet pronate out, and I wore the joints out on my
pronate.
Big toes.
So, Mark, I have to interrupt, Mark. Your feet aren't bad. They're horrible.
Well, that's
and
true.
They smell bad, too, by golly.
But I had two bunionectomies. That's where they take out a wafer bone, pin your bone back together. Had orthotics made by podiatrists to the tune of $1,200 and $1,400 that I could never wear. Saw some of these other solutions on radio and television. They were kind of an arch support kind of a thing. And it's just nothing worked for me, and I was about to give up until I came across your custom orthotics. And why is it that yours have corrected my feet problems and the pain that I have, where all these other things that I've tried failed?
There's a number of reasons that take place, Mark. Number one, we will only make a full-length insole. There's no way you can correct the foot without a full-length insole. Your foot actually has three major arches. And there's one that's a transverse arch, the one that everybody can see, but there's two longitudinals that run from your heel all the way up the front of your toes. So when we make a custom insole, or anybody that really knows what they're doing, they'll put your foot, there's a term called subtalar neutral, which aligns all three of those arches up. So it's kind of like if you had a car wreck and somebody really crashed and screwed up your entire frame, but you took your car in and came back and a third of the frame was fixed and they said your car was ready to go. It's not. The foot's the same way. You have to have a full-length insole with all three arches in sync. When that happens, there's like 26 bones down there and 33 moving joints. So when your heel strikes the toe off, they all have to be in a line. The way God designed the foot is magnificent. So the way we try and put it back is as close to the way he did it as possible. So when you got in our insoles, probably in the first 3 to 4 or 5 steps, you are out of pain. I call them a split more than a custom insole. We're splitting the foot correctly. And we also see a lot of people with something called plantar fasciitis. Probably half the people who come in are with plantar fasciitis. They, like you, have tried everything imaginable and nothing has worked. They're just dumbfounded and amazed. You hear, oh, my gosh, what happened? Well, we splinted the foot correctly so it's in the right position to work from heel strike to toe off. That's why they work. It's that simple, but it's that complicated as well.
Well, I am dependent on these. I can't walk without my insoles. I can't go barefoot. I can't wear a pair of shoes without them. I hate being that dependent on it, but on the other hand, I'm just so thankful that I found something that finally gives me some relief and I can walk without that pain. So let me recommend to any of our listeners that has any kind of foot pain, whether it's plantar fasciitis or just flat feet or whatever it might be, it's the Sports Medicine Store. Before we give your address and phone number, real quick, another problem that people have that you, you've got a miracle solution for, and this is your unloader brace for people that have bone-on-bone pain. Can you talk about that just a little bit real quick?
I would love to. That's a product that myself and two other guys designed. I used to design knees and hips and shoulders, so I'm pretty knowledgeable about this stuff. And about 5 years ago, a group of us got together that have the same background. We said we wanted to finally make something that would help these people out that were probably a candidate for total knee, but maybe their health wouldn't allow it, or they had friends that didn't have good results or whatever, and they wanted another option because all the shots have worn off and didn't do any good anymore. So we developed what is called an osteoarthritic unloader brace. And the most people that come in have a diagnosis that it's kind of a common diagnosis. It's called bone on bone, which means the soft tissue in the knee is just dissipated. It's gone. So bone hits bone, nerve hits nerve, i.e. you have pain. So we designed this brace so that it actually opens up the knee compartment while you're walking, when you're weight bearing, so you don't allow those two, the femur and tibia, to hit. Nerves don't hit, you don't have pain. It's a wraparound, takes about 15 seconds to put on. It's 14 ounces, you don't even know you have it on, so it goes right on your knee and your clothes go right over the top of it. And usually in the first 1, 2, 3 steps, people are out of pain. I have people come in and bring me wine the next day. I think I've up to like 4 kisses from some women. And stuff. I don't want guys coming in and kiss me, but the women are fine, you know. So I think we've done about 800 here in Kansas City in the last 3 years. And wow. Our success rate's like 99.9. It's a phenomenal product.
Cool.
They can buy it either outright as a retail product, or their insurance, Medicare, will take care of it either way.
Well, how can people, again, if you've got foot pain or knee pain, this is the place to go to take care of it. It's the Sports Medicine Store. Where are you, and what's your phone number, bud?
We're at 9738 Warnell Road, Suite 100, and our phone number over there is area code 816-859-5440. We're open on Saturdays from 9 to 2, and during the week, we open at 9 and close at 4. I don't want anybody there on Sundays.
No, I don't. That's fishing time.
All right.
That's fishing time.
All right.
Mark, well, I thank you very much for allowing me to be on.
Thank you. We'll talk to you again next week.
Have a good week.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Well, what a great product.
Oh, it is. Like I said, unfortunately, I have to have it. I can't be without them. But there is some hope out there. If you one of those people like me that have tried other things and haven't had any luck, and you still have foot pain, or that, you know, if you got that bone-on-bone knee pain, it's
did you ever try stuff. Just drinking a bottle of Jack Daniels?
At night.
At night.
Yeah, I try to avoid that during the day. But I also...
Do the day?
Yeah.
In the studio, Greg Thompson, Brent Frazee, and I just love these guys. I wish they'd come in every Saturday. Brent's hard to get him out of bed early in the morning on a deal. Say, you know, I was your biggest fan at the Star.
I had a fan?
Yes, me. And I actually went and sought out the paper to get your articles, you know, and I had to drive a ways to go get them. You know, and every time I'd read your stuff, I just wrote you a letter, and I sent it to you. And said,
I never got it.
Yes, you did. I know you did. But anyway, what are you doing now? I mean, what, as you're retired, other than fishing every day?
Kind of sitting around in my underwear and kind of staring out the window.
I see.
Or sometimes I'll stare at the wall.
I understand.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's Judge Judy and a little bit of Ellen.
Are you writing any at all?
Yeah, I am. I'm still writing. Not doing nearly as much traveling, but I'm still doing some traveling. And, you know, just enjoying life. I mean,
cool.
I live on a lake, and anytime I want to, you know, I'll go down. I got the boat in the marina and just take off and go fish. I have had a thing developing where everybody's making fun of me, but. Because I make fun of other people when this happens.
Really?
No. Not really.
But I'm showing senior citizenship. I fall in the boat. I'm not falling out of the boat.
You're falling in.
I'm falling into the boat. Because it's a big step down from the dock into the boat. And a couple times I've lost my footing.
I understand.
And gone... did a face plant, a little bit of a face plant.
That explains something.
And everybody I fished with, they get a big old yuck out of it.
Because
when they fall, it's only fair when they fall. I get a picture of it first before I help them up. So, you know, you got to expect that crap.
At least it's in the boat. You know, I've had the unfortunate experience of falling out of the boat a few times. And one time in particular, I was fishing with a guy on Pomme de Terre. Mm. And he was, this was back in the day when I used to fish a lot of crappie tournaments. This guy was always one of the top five, always. And so I was really excited the first time I got to fish with him. He had a Ranger bass boat. And we went up one of the creeks, creek arms, and we had to break ice to get up through it. So it was cold.
Ooh.
And I had a burr suit on and insulated boots. Well, I got up. We had stopped. And I got up to sit on the back pedestal seat. And he had these little pop-up, the rod locker handles.
Yeah.
It would pop up. Yeah. And you could push it down, and it was kind of spring-loaded. Well, it was up, and I didn't see it. So when I stepped up there, my insulated boot caught a hold of that thing. And I went headfirst through the ice into the water.
Oh, jeez.
My first trip with this guy. What an impression I made.
Oh, boy.
He's like, never forgot you.
No, never took me fishing again either.
Yeah, really. Hey, Brent, you know, you're 70 years old, and you look back now. Are you 70?
Why do you keep reminding me
of
that?
I mean, think about this a little bit. I mean, one is, how did you get into this silly business being an outdoor rider? But the other thing, would you recommend it to anybody else?
Right now, it's a tough gig because newspapers don't carry the outdoors anymore.
Yeah, it's true.
There's very few newspapers that carry the outdoors.
That's when I quit subscribing to the Star, is when they let you go.
I did too. I quit as soon as they let you go.
Well, yeah. I appreciate that, guys. But, you know, that's a sad thing for me. I mean, If I were retired from the Star and they still had somebody doing the outdoors, it would be fun and everything like that. But I pick up the Star and there's nothing related to the outdoors, not even a fishing or hunting report anymore.
Yeah.
And I just think for an area like ours, you know, I can see New York City not running a fishing report or something like that. But for an area like ours that is rooted in the outdoors, I just think it's ridiculous. I really do.
Couldn't agree more. Yeah,
I agree.
You know. So, but anyway, how I got into it, I loved to fish and hunt when I was a kid. My parents had a cottage up in Wisconsin. We'd be up there every weekend, and I just loved to fish, and I didn't want to become an outdoor writer. I wanted to become a sports writer, and that's how I started off. In Wisconsin, I covered the Badgers. Badgers football is like one big party.
Yeah,
Camp Randall Stadium, just really fun.
Yeah,
and we were getting complaints at that paper that nobody is covering the outdoors, and they said of our sports staff, does anybody here like to fish? Everybody else took a step back.
Uh-oh.
I took a step forward and said, yeah, I like to fish. What a gig.
Yeah.
I got to go out with all these famous captains right when the salmon fishing was starting.
Cool.
In Wisconsin. I got to fish with all these guys who would do the salmon fishing and stuff. It was a blast.
Is it hard for you to write?
No.
Do you have a writer's block from time to time, or you just sit down and whip it out, or I mean, what's the deal?
After all this time, I have had at times get writer's block. You got the story in front of you, but sometimes it gets tough to figure out how to put it together. But it doesn't happen like that anymore. Give me a couple years when I'm in a nursing home.
Yeah.
Ask me that question,
yeah,
and I'll probably have a different answer for you. But.
You know, I wrote a little bit for Sports Field, and it was the hardest thing I ever did. I would agonize, and they were paying $1 a word, and I would agonize over that thing for a week to sit down, and they'd send me a query letter or something, you know, about here in the Midwest. And it was tough. of course, you know, me, I just take two fingers and type, you know. And it was really, really long, enduring, and sweaty, and hard for me to write. And then I'd read it, and I'd go, that's stupid, you know. And then you send it in to the editor, and, of course, they would correct it anyway. That's their job on the deal thing. But I found it very hard to do for no more money that you made on this thing.
Yeah, well, you know, like I tell people, you know, everybody's got their own thing. I mean, you know,
yeah.
You guys do radio, and I really appreciate that you guys have this radio show, because our market, you know, we have to communicate the outdoor experience.
Sure.
And, you know, you guys do an excellent job of communicating what's going on.
Appreciate
and making
that.
It making it appealing to be out there.
Yeah.
We got to get young people involved in the outdoors, because you know, more and more we're getting away from the land. We're getting away from the land. I mean,
yeah.
You know that, Fred.
Yeah,
you've
sure
lived
do.
In a rural area
yeah.
for all your life. Yeah. I mean, there's more and more kids that are just getting away from their generations away from the land. And
yeah.
That troubles me. I mean, it really does.
Yeah, it bothers me more than I let on. But, you know, I actively sought out kids to duck hunt this year. Had a hard time finding a few kids that really wanted to go, you know, type thing. And I go back to it, you know, it's, outdoor world is not cheap. You know, you got a boat, you know, 20,000, 40,000, whatever your imagination, rods, reels, graphite rods, reels, you know, fishing lures, $11 a pop, and you throw them twice, you get hung up, you know, and you break them off. And you know, so it's not cheap. Duck hunting, of course, is a very expensive sport on the deal. So I kind of attribute that. Single mothers, I know, have a hard time, you know, paying the rent, let alone take the kid fishing and where do we go type thing on the deal.
Yeah.
And that's why I tip my hat to MDC. They will bend over backwards to help kids to get them somewhere, to get them fishing on the deal.
I really, they're even not renting out, they're checking out fishing equipment at
sure.
the libraries now.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Cool.
Yeah,
that's
some
good.
Of the libraries.
You know, Brent's memory's a little bad, so I might have to poke him a little bit. Don't you do an online magazine every week now?
Yes.
Well, maybe you should tell somebody about it.
Yes and no. Yes and no, Dev. Yeah, I'm doing so a weekly newsletter now for Your Bass Guy, and that's a nice thing. I'm able to write about what I want to write about now, and these guys are really great people. They're out of Tennessee, and it's just a newsletter every week about what's going on in the bass world, whether it be helping people get started with bass fishing all the way to you know, what the pros are doing that week or something like that. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm doing this newsletter. We're trying to get, you know, the thing is, I told you there's not enough information out there
exactly.
about the outdoors. But one thing there is, just an abundance, overabundance, is all these pros now are doing their own YouTube channels.
Sure are.
And
yeah.
they're getting bombarded by stuff. You know, to come out with a newsletter to try to compete with some of these pros putting out their weekly things, it's
yeah.
It's interesting.
I'll post how to get on to that the Bass Guy. We'll put that on our site.
Okay.
Fred, I'd like to read a couple of things here this morning. I asked people to send in, and I've got Landon Dunaway, New Orleans. He's a U.S. Marine stationed down here. He said he's a faithful listener, and he listens on his run every morning out of
wow,
New Orleans.
Cool.
How neat is that?
I got that's another one. I gotta say this one. Mark Schneider, listen every week from Cosby, Missouri. Milking cows and shoveling poop, kind of similar to with you guys. Thanks for listening.
Wow, that's awesome. New Orleans, wow.
You ever been to Cosby?
Not on purpose.
Hey, men are men, sheep are nervous up there. It's a weird bunch of people up there.
Hey, I've got a couple more things from Brent Frazee's Facebook page. Brent says, most people don't think I'm as old as I am. until they hear me stand up.
Yeah, for sure.
He bought a chicken to make sandwiches. It doesn't. All it does is poops on the floor. Brent's wife said, "Stop yawning while I'm talking to you." And Brent said, "I'm not yawning. I'm trying to say something."
Hey, that's a good one.
That's a good one.
I love it.
About that.
I know, because my wife doesn't work. She doesn't wake up this early to listen to this show.
Oh, no.
So nothing's... Ever. No
yeah.
problems.
Yeah. We, you know, my wife got in the habit of listening to things. I'd tone it down a little bit, you know. I was just making fun. You know, I'm having a giggle, but sometimes they take it kind of personal, you know, on the deal of it. What the hey?
Oh, they'll get over it.
Yeah, a week, 10 days. They're so over.
Yeah. One of Brett's wife's friends came over to visit and didn't see her husband. And she said, "Where is he?" He says, "He's in the garden. They'd been in quarantine too much. He's buried."
I'll be darned.
Yeah.
Buried out in the garden.
Yeah, but they put endangered plants on top of them so you can't dig them up, is what I'm told.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, Brent, it means a lot for you to come in here in the studio. I mean that. I'm your biggest fan. And me, it's like being around the Pope. You know?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if that's a compliment.
I don't know. Take it the way you want to.
Well, that's
thing.
Funny.
No.
As long as you didn't say being around President Biden.
Cheap but good. Oh. Cheap but good.
Well, I wish we had more time because we didn't get into any of the stories that you've written. You had so many great people that you met over the years, and I wanted to visit more about some of the characters that you've come across through your life. But, you got to come back in. This hour just has gone way too
quick. It always goes fast, guys. Yeah. I enjoy being on with you guys.
You know, you mentioned the name J.D. Fletcher. And, boy, that brought a million memories back. He was a great person.
What a pal.
What a guy.
I never could quite figure out if he really was a hillbilly like he claimed to be or if he was just doing that as a shtick.
Yeah.
But I think he really was. He's the type of guy when you'd be going down the river and stuff, and he'd go, start going, ooh, 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 ooh. and you think, oh, is a fish biting or something? He'd pull over to a gravel bar, and he'd grab a roll of toilet paper out of his box, and he'd go running off into the woods. But God, I hope nobody gets him. I don't think I'd find my way back. But what a great guy.
Oh, yeah. I used to go down and fish off the dock there with him a little bit, you know, and he was just a wonderful person. You know, one of the things I wanted to talk about real briefly was the BASS. Back in the good old days, Roger Moore and those guys. I had no inkling it would get like this. You know, the tournament series.
Is Roger Moore still living?
No, he passed on us. But a great guy.
Yeah.
And he was the first one I ever saw that wore a name on his back. And the first time I saw Roger, he had a red, white, and blue jumpsuit with bells on the bottom of it.
Yep.
And came walking down the dock, and they hear these bells ringing before he got there. And he had everybody's patch on his back, and they were, you know, he'd trade them out advertising basically for fishing lures back in those days.
Yeah, yeah.
And everybody looked at him like, who's this nut? Because the rest of us all wearing blue jeans or bib overalls, you know, trying to stay warm. Here come Roger, you know. Boy, he could catch fish.
Boy, he could.
He was intense.
I fished with him one time, I think, when I first got to the Star.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Absolutely could catch him.
But it's funny, they're like NASCAR now. They got all their sponsors on there. And, you know, hey, that's great. At first, when I first saw it, it kind of got me a little bit. But, now I thought,
why not?
Hey, why not?
Yeah.
If it'll just
suck somebody in to get them back into the groove of fishing somewhere on the deal. I get about once a week somebody will say to me, I used to fish. I don't know. I enjoyed it. I don't know why I got away from it. And I'll say, boy, the most relaxing time you have in your life, you know, you got a lot of stress in life. And if you want to get away and giggle and you know, no cell phone per se, and just sit down and throw a, I mean, you might catch one. You know, who knows? Try.
That's icing on the cake. Yeah, the best part's just being out there on the water.
Sure,
being away from all of the stresses of life.
Hey, we are brought to you by SAR, S-A-R USA Pistol Company, the fastest growing pistol company in the United States. If you've not checked out their product, shame on you. They're about a third of the price with 100% quality of the big name guys. So when you're looking for a pistol, and who isn't? Boy, I just love mine. I shoot them way too much, allegedly, but I just love SAR pistols. So SAR USA, go to their website. Come up and join us October the 16th at St. Joseph, Missouri for the Delta Waterfowl Foundation. Dr. Tom Noyes, I've been calling you out. I want you to come. No, no deal. So he listened to the show.
Hello.
Yeah. Brent, thank you.
And Greg, both of you, thank you.
Both of you guys.
It was great being here.
Always enjoy it.
Yeah, what a treat.
I'm going back to bed.
Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah. Well, I got to drive home first.
Yeah.
Well, you can sleep out in the parking lot. We don't care. You know, what the heck, you know. Tell you what, that wraps it up for this edition of the Midwest Outdoors. We got to go for this week. The next time we see you, I hope we see you in a great outdoors.
Have a great week. So long, everybody.